بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The last sabak in regards to the bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi. Up to yesterday's sabak, the complete salah was discussed, and we mentioned the last aspect in regards to dua that was also covered, that how can a person gain this ruhaniyat and really salah of life. So the last sabak of here pertains to the witr salah, and in particular the dua-e qunut. So the topic here is Namaz-e-Witr mein Dua-e-Qunut, the Dua-e-Qunut in the Witr Salah. Aur Kamal-e-Shafqat se is bande ke waaste Parwardigar ne 3 rakaat Namaz-e-Witr muqarrar farmayi hai. Says that to complete the affection of Allah Tabarak wa Taala, the love of Allah Taala on the servant, Allah Tabarak wa Taala has fixed 3 rakaat of Witr Salah for his servant. That one is Allah Ta'ala was compassionate, Allah Ta'ala was affectionate towards us, that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gave us our 5 salah, all the sunans, etc. And together with this, after the faraiz, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has fixed this witr salah, which is a wajib. Obviously there is difference of opinion amongst between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi students, whether it is a wajib or whether it is sunnat mu'akkada. This in here also that the fatwa has been given on the view of Imam Sahib rahmatullahi that it is a wajib, that in which there is the most amount of benefit that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made for us for the ummah, and that in which there is the most amount of harm, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made that haram upon the ummah. So the 5 salah, there was the most amount of benefit, Allah ta'ala has made it fard, and witr is also obligatory, just 1 degree less than fard. جس کے ادا کرنے سے بندے اپنے خالق کے سامنے عزیز ہو جاتا ہے. And he says by discharging this witr salah, a person, he becomes beloved to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In front of Allah ta'ala, he becomes his beloved. اور نماز witr واجب ہے اوپر قول صحیح کے. That's what he's saying here, that the witr namaz is a wajib according to the correct view. اور دعائیں قنوت پرنا تیسری رکعت میں رکوع سے پہلے قرات کے پیچھے واجب ہے. And he says to recite the dua-e qunut in the 3rd rakat before the ruku, after qirat, after you recite your surah Fatiha and your surah, so after your qirat, it is wajib to recite the dua-e qunut before going into ruku. Wo dua ye hai. And what is this dua? So now he mentioned the entire dua. So this is the method that is according to the Hanafi Madhab. This is how we will read the Witr Salah. If a person, for example, he goes to Makkah al-Mukarramah, then there you will find that they read the Witr Salah in 2 rakat. 2, and then they make salam. And then they read 1 rakat thereafter. So many people ask the question also, that can we read the Witr Salah behind them when they performing the Witr Salah? So we shouldn't perform the Witr Salah. Over there, a person, he shouldn't perform his Witr Salah behind them. Because in the Hanafi Madhab, we don't have any salah that is 1 rakat. They have a salah of 1 rakat. They read 2, then they make salam, then they read 1 rakat. So in the Hanafi Madhab, we don't have that. Other madhahib, they have that. So as far as possible, if we can come out of the congregation, then we should come out of the congregation and read our salah individually. But for example, there's a lot of people, the crowd is very big, and you caught up in between, and you're feeling embarrassed also. Now how are you going to come out of here? So in that case, no problem, you will follow the imam. But after 2 rakats, when the imam makes salam, then we don't make salam. We will remain seated. And when he commences the 3rd rakat, when he says Allahu Akbar, we come up and then we join the imam from there without making salam. But then too, it doesn't mean that your witr salah has been discharged. Although you followed the imam in this way, where you didn't make salam and you came up for the 3rd rakat, then too you'll have to repeat the witr salah thereafter again. A person will have to perform the witr salah. Another masala also comes to mind in regards to the haram, that the woman, they shouldn't perform salah in the haram also. In the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, that they shouldn't be following the imam that is there. According to the research that was conducted, and some ulama, according to what we found out, is in the Hanafi Madhab, the imam has to make niyat of woman. If women are following, he has to make niyat of woman. If the imam doesn't make niyat of woman, then the following of the woman is not valid, it is not correct. And according to them, in their mazhab, they don't have to make niyat of women. So according to our research, they just perform their salah. So they're not making niyat of women. So the woman's salah is invalid. It's not taking place. So they get the same reward. If a woman, she stays in her room and she performs her salah in her room, the reward we will get for performing in the haram, she gets the same reward there. So there's no need for, in her convenience, she's getting full reward. So she shouldn't be coming to the haram, she must perform her salah in the room. So that was just by the way. So here he says, اور دعائے قنوت پڑھنا تیسری رکعت میں رکوع سے پہلے قرات کے پیچھے واجب ہے. So to recite this دعائے قنوت, this is also a wajib. And what is the dua? اللهم انا نستعينك ونستغفرك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك ونثني عليك الخير ونشكرك ولا نكفرك ونخلع ونترك من يفجرك. اللهم اياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد واليك نسعى ونحفظ ونرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك ان عذابك بالكفار ملحق. What is the translation? So ya Allahumma inna nasta'inuk. O Allah, that verily we are seeking assistance from you. So ya also we are seeking the assistance of Allah Ta'ala, like in Surah Fatiha, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ya also we require the help, we require the assistance of Allah. Wa nastaghfiruka, and we seek forgiveness from you, Allah. Wa nu'minu bika, we believe in you, we have full iman in you, Allah. وَنَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْكَ, and we place our full trust in you, O Allah. We rely on Allah تبارك وتعالى to take care of all our needs. وَنُثْنِي عَلَيْكَ الْخَيْرِ, and we praise you with all goodness, O Allah. وَنَشْكُرُكَ وَلَا نَكْفُرُكَ, we make shukr to you, we are grateful to you, and we do not reject you, we are not ungrateful, we do not reject you. وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكَ, and we disassociate ourselves, we distance ourselves, and we leave those people that are in your disobedience. This explanation that is coming to this, we will come to that point just now, inshallah. That those that disobey you, we disassociate ourselves from them, we leave out such people. Allahumma iyyaka na'budu wa laka nusalli. Allah, it is only you that we worship, and it is only for you that we are performing our salah. Wa nasjudu, and it is only for you that we make sajda. Wa ilayka nas'a, and it is towards you that we run, O Allah. وَنَحْفِدُ وَنَرْجُ رَحْمَتَكَ, and we are present here, we are present here at your service, and we have hope of your rahmat, of your mercy. وَنَخْشَى عَذَابَكَ, and we fear your azab. إِنَّ عَذَابَكَ بِالْكُفَّارِ مُلْحِقٌ, that verily your azab has been fixed for the kuffar. So this is the meaning of the qunut that we read. There are different qunut. This is the qunut of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, which is recited in the Hanafi madhab. Obviously the Shafi's, they recited this different qunut. Allahumma hdina fi man hadith. So this is one qunut. And perhaps you must have done the masla which comes in Basti Zewar also, that for example, if a person in place of this qunut, if he reads another qunut also, or he reads another dua, then also it is acceptable, then also it is valid. اب بندے مؤمن کو چاہیے کہ اپنے دل کی طرف ذرا انصاف سے رجوع کرے. He says, now the servant, he should honestly just check in your heart a little bit, just ponder a little bit, look into your heart, کہ یہ سب اقرار جو عیسیٰ حضور کے وقت میں سامنے اپنے مالک کے کرے اور موافق اس اقرار کے عمل میں نہ لاوے, پھر روز جزا کے کون سا منہ لگا کے اس قہار کے سامنے جاوے گا. He says that just ponder, be honest to yourself, look into your heart a little bit. He says, in here we made so many confessions. We asked Allah Ta'ala for help. We put our trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We are grateful to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We leave out those people that are engaged in the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That in front of Allah Ta'ala, you have made so many confessions. So he says that if a person, he does not act according to all this, what he is saying to Allah Ta'ala in salah, he is confessing before Allah. And he says, you do not put this into practice. Then he says, on the day of Qiyamah, what faith are we going to go with before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that being that is most powerful? What faith do we have before Allah? In other words, in this, Allah Ta'ala save us, so to say, there is a degree of hypocrisy. That here we are telling Allah Ta'ala something, but when we go there in front of Allah, out of our salah, our actions are contrary to this. Iman naam faqat iqrar ka nahi hai. He says, iman is not that a person just makes these confessions, that we say, that we put our trust in you, we believe in you, all this, that we just keep confessing verbally. بلکہ اقرار ساتھ یقین کے چاہیے کہ ثمر اس کا عمل ہے. But he says, that there must be conviction in that اقرار, in that confession of yours, there must be conviction that what is the consequence of my confession, that now I must bring it into amal. That whatever I'm saying to Allah تبارک و تعالی, this must practically now come into my life. اور عوام جو اس بات سے بے خبر ہے, خواص کو واجب ہے کہ اس کو آگاہ کریں. He says that the general masses, that many of them are unaware of this, then the ulama should make them aware of this fact. What is it? Ke jo muh se iqrar kare, isko amal mein lawe. That what a person confesses with his tongue, whatever confession you're making to Allah Ta'ala, then now bring it into action. And this is what a person will be questioned for on the day of Qiyamah. We mentioned the hadith that a person, his foot won't even move 1 inch on the day of Qiyamah until he answers Allah Ta'ala. 5 questions. And one is, مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِهِ وَانْ عِلْمِهِ, regarding that knowledge that you acquired. How much of amal did you make on it? These confessions, that did you act upon it, or you didn't act upon it. So a person will be responsible in the court of Allah. Further he writes now, دُعَيْ قُنُوتْ مَنْ نَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ پَرْكَرْ جو اقرار کیا جاتا ہے اس پر عمل کے بارے میں اکابرین کا طرز عمل ہی قابل تقلید ہے. So he said, I mentioned there, that here we saying in Du'a-i Qunut, that those people that disobey you, Allah, we got nothing to do with them. We just associate ourselves from them. So does this mean now that any person that is doing something wrong, he's involved in some guna, now we got nothing to do with that person? Then in the world we'll be living all by ourselves. So therefore he says over here in Du'a-i Qunut, when we say that we will leave out those people who are in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, so we will look at the way of our akabirin, of our pious predecessors. How did they act upon this? And how they have acted upon, this is the way that we will follow as well. Alhamdulillah, humne apne akabirin ko Quran wa sunnat ka aisa aashiq paya, jisko fana ka darja kehna chahiye. It says alhamdulillah, that we have found our pious predecessors, our akabirin, that they were such lovers of the Quran, and they were such lovers of the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they had annihilated themselves. They had completely given themselves for the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To such an extent that Mona Qasim Sahib Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi, what a great personality. So one day one person, he brought shoes for Mona Qasim Sahib Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi. This is the love they had for Sunnah. This is the love they had for Allah's deen, for Quran. Allah Ta'ala give it to us. We don't have it. That is why we're talking about it. That by repeating these things, Allah Ta'ala will bless us with the reality or even an iota of it. Even that is inshallah sufficient for our salvation. What love they had. So he brought a shoe and he gave it to Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullahi Alayh. And the shoe was green in color. So Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullahi Alayh, he never wore that shoe. So after some time he came back and he asked Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullahi Alayh, Hazrat, I brought you that shoe, but I don't see you wearing that shoe. So he said that I thought about it, that the Roza Mubarak, the dome that is outside, he says that is also green in color. So that green, that is green in color, and I bring this on my feet, I wear this color shoe, he says I cannot do this. This is the love that they had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi, one person, he brought khajur. In today's time, khajur is easily available in our country. Zamzam is available, khajur is available. But in the previous times, khajur was a great thing. When you go for zamzam to somebody's house, somebody has come back from Hajj, they give you in a small cup, a little glass. Today they fill the tumbler up, how much you want to drink, because it's so easily available, alhamdulillah. So in those days, when somebody would go and they would bring khajur, how much of khajur they would give? They would give maybe 2 or 3 dates they would give a person, because they have to give so many people. And how people used to value that khajur, that zamzam of Madinatul Munawwara. So when that khajur was brought to Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, and how much he gave? He gave him three dates. So Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, at that time he said to one of his khadims that were there, he says that how many mutaalliqeen do I have? How many mureedeen do I have? Associates. So he counted, he made a list, and then he said there are 50. So Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi said that cut up this khajur into 50 pieces and give everyone one piece. So when one person, so he said give everyone one piece, so the khadimi like kind of objected. He said, now if you're going to cut up 3 pieces of khajur, now how much, 50 pieces, how much each one is really going to get? Small, a little bit. So he like said that, what are they going to get? Mawlana got very, very upset. He says, the khajur of Madina Munawwara, and even a small piece you regard as insignificant, even a small piece of this khajur is very, very great. This is the love there for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The dust that used to be on the walls of Masjid al-Nabawi, he used to gather this dust. And this dust, he said, is the surma of my eyes. Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi, he would place this in his eyes. He said, this is the surma of my eyes. So much of love. That's what he's saying, that they had great love for Sunnat, and they had great love for Quran Sharif. There were those akabirin of ours, I think it was Mawlana Qasim Sabnanoti Rahmatullahi, if I'm not mistaken, when he would come to Madinatul Munawwara, they would take out the shoes. They won't walk with shoes in Madina Sharif. So the Khadim was walking with him, and the Hazrat's feet were bleeding. So he said, Hazrat, I can't manage anymore. So he put his shoes on. But still Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanawati Rahmatullahi never put on his shoe. He continued walking without shoes, that this is the land upon which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had walked. Where can I put my shoes over here? So this is how they were. There were those akabirin like Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alaihi. They never had the courage to come to Roza Mubarak. Today we go with the camera, we want to take a picture of Roza Mubarak. People are walking past, they're taking pictures of the Roza Mubarak. They never had courage to come there and read Durud and Salam. They used to stand in the back. And he used to read Durus and Salam from there. Hazrat Mohini Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, he used to sit outside and he used to be looking at the green dome. People asked him that, what are you looking at, Hazrat? He said, I see the flights that are coming in. He said, what flight? He says, all the Durud that people are reciting, the Malaika are bringing it to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the flight. They never had courage to come in front of Roza Mubarak, which Hazrat mentioned the other day also regarding Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahib, Dawud Barakatum. He said, I told Hazrat that I learned this dua from you. Allahumma inna nas'aluka إيمان لا يرتد ونعيم لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنة الأعلى جنة الخلف. Allah, we ask you for that iman, that we never turned away from it. We don't become murtad. We don't turn away from that iman. We ask for that iman. And those ni'mat of yours, لا ينفد, that will never ever come to an end. And then he says, for the companionship of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم in the highest ranks of Jannat, in Jannat of eternity. So then Hazrat told Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahib that I learned this from you. He says, I can't make the dua anymore. That making dua for me to be with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the highest ranks of Jannat, how is it? So this is the adab, this is the love that they had for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's mentioned, Mawlana Nanoti Rahmatullah, I think it was him again, that there was that occasion where the British were in search of him. So he went into hiding. And it is mentioned after 3 days he came out. So people said, Hazrat, why you came out? Your life is still in danger. You should remain in there. So he says that when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Hijrat, what is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he went from Makkah Sharif to Madinatul Munawwara and they left at night. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also went into hiding. And how has Abu Bakr, what love he had for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is mentioned when he came to the cave, at that time Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was wearing 2 pieces of cloth. 2 pieces. When he went into the cave and he came out with 1 piece. Where did the other piece go? It is mentioned the other chadar, at that time they just, at night, they so to say escaped, they just got out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Because their lives were in danger, Nabi alayhi salam's life was in danger. The kuffar said, anyone that can capture Nabi alayhi salam and bring him to us, 100 camels we'll offer. So what did he do? He looked first, he cleaned the cave. And every hole that was there, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala tore the top sheet. He tore it into pieces. And he filled every hole up, that no snake or scorpion or some insect comes out from here and harms Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he took Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inside the cave. So there was one hole that was still remaining. He didn't have cloth now to cover that hole. So that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took his foot and he covered that hole. And then he lay down. And then he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that now rest. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had his Mubarak head in the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So from that hole that was remaining, where the leg of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was, some snake or some scorpion had come out from there. And that too, it's an amazing incident. That what was that snake? That was actually a human being of a previous ummah. And he made dua that I want to see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'm prepared to change my form. Allah ta'ala transformed this particular person into the snake or scorpion, whatever it must have been. He waited there for years and years that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to come and spend the night in this cave, and that is when I want to see the Mubarak face of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that is why that snake or that scorpion bit Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sleeping. So because he was sleeping, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala did not move. He just started crying because of the pain. And when he started crying, then those tears started dripping. And when the tears dripped, now it fell on Nabi Alayhi Wasallam. Nabi Alayhi Wasallam woke up. Abu Bakr, what is the problem? What's wrong? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the problem. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his Mubarak saliva. And again they continued. So this is the love that he had for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it is mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, when he had undertaken a journey long before he had accepted Islam, So we undertook this journey to Sham. As a businessman, so he saw a dream. So in this dream that he had seen, he had gone to one of the rahibs of that time, one of the monks, and he narrated this dream to them. So he asked him, "Man anta?" That who are you? So he says, "I'm Abu Bakr." He says, "Abu Bakr who? Who's your father?" So he says, "Abu Quhafa." Then he says, "Aish anta? What are you?" So he says that, "I'm a tajir, I'm a businessman." Said, "Min aina?" He said, "Makkah al-Mukarrama." He says, "If what you're saying is the truth, this is the dream that you have. فَإِنَّكَ يُبْعَثُ نَبِيٌّ مِّن قَوْمِكَ." That a Nabi is going to be sent from your nation. تَكُونُ وَزِيرَهُ فِي حَيَاتِهِ وَخَلِيفَتَهُ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ. That you will be the wazir, the minister of this Nabi in his lifetime. And you will be the khalifa of this Nabi after his demise. So the Rahib told him at that time. It is mentioned later on when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. And he appeared, he was made a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He claimed Nubuwwat. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that what is your dalil? What is your proof? You say you're a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. What's your dalil? What's your proof that you're a Nabi of Allah? What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? رُؤْيَاكَ الَّتِي رَأَيْتَ فِي الشَّامِ. That dream that you saw in Sham, Nabi alayhi wa sallam wasn't aware of it. Said, the dream that you saw in Sham, that is the proof that I am the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. It is mentioned, فَعَانَقَهُ وَقَبَّلَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. He took Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He made mu'anaqa, he embraced him. He kissed him between his eyes. And then he recited the kalima. And he stayed with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the rest of the life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the darja of Sahaba. We cannot understand. That is why it is mentioned that if لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا. That if any one of you, any one of the ummatis, anyone, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have to spend Mount Uhud in gold, you give it in charity, مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَ وَأَوْكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. You won't even come close to one mud of Sahaba, and leave one mud, even half a mud you won't come close to. And what is one mud? In accurate measurement, 796 grams. One mud is equal to 796, so to say 800 grams. And what is 800? Not even a kilo. And not even, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not even half a mud. Half a mud is 400 grams. You can't even come to 400 grams if you give your mountain in gold. And what Sahaba has to give, a Sahabi gives, you won't even come equal to his half mud. This is the reward Allah Ta'ala has kept for the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these akabirin of ours also, that great love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and their understanding of deen. Hazrat Mufti Marashir Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatul Alayh, he was known as Faqihun Nafs himself. He was a great faqih, he was a jurist. He knew fiqh in himself. It is mentioned on one occasion, Marashir Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatul Alayh, he had a dream. And in the dream, he sees Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him 100 masail. 100 masail, that what is the answer to these masail of deen? And then Mawlana Sheikh Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi, he replied, he gave the answer for every masla. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and this according to the Hanafi madhab, he says, I give you the seat of fatwa for this ummah. Now, that is the position of akabirin. So therefore here he says that when we need to follow, who are we going to follow, whose practice we're going to follow, we will follow the tariqah of our akabirin. That when they interpreted, they had the understanding of deen. So when they had the understanding of deen, how they acted upon a certain thing, we will act upon it in a similar way. Sunnah also, we need to understand this much, that time is short, but sunnah, we cannot act upon sunnah like how it was done in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not possible. We got to look at the akabirin of this era, of this time, and we will follow them in practicing upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our Hazrat gives an example. He says, when they opened the madrasa in the initial days, so one student, he came, and he says that everything in the madrasa must be according to sunnah. So he said, this is our desire. We also want the same thing. Everything must be according to sunnah. So then he raised certain objections. So which was not possible. To act upon it in today's time was not possible. So he said that if that is the case, if you want to act upon sunnah in that way, then from tomorrow don't use the toilet over here. Because the sunnah in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was what? That you used to use clay. Now if you're going to take soil and you're going to use it in our toilet, what's going to happen? All the pipes are going to be blocked. So he says, you should go to the field now. Don't use the toilet. So see, we need to see the tariqah of our akabirin of this era. And then we got to follow sunnah according to that. In one occasion, in the Khanqah of the Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he explained this to us. He says that one person, he came and he was dressed 100% according to sunnah. He had the imamah also, his clothing also was according, everything 100% according to sunnah. And then he came in, and he was walking. Now the sunnah was to carry a stick, and in the bottom of the stick was a nail, because in those days they were going out in the jungle. Now if a person wants to relieve himself, he has to break that mud that is there, the clay that is there, he has to use the stick. You're walking in the jungle, there's snakes over there, there's scorpions there, so you require that nail that is in the bottom. Now for a person to be now in Johannesburg city, and he's walking with the stick with the nail in the bottom, at least today we do not use so much of public transport, but Pakistan, everyone public transport, somebody is sitting on the roof of the bus, somebody is hanging out of the door. Now you're going to go into that bus with your stick, and you got a nail in the bottom. Now you're going to injure somebody, you're going to hurt somebody. So Hazrat told him that, see, you cannot go onto the bus, you cannot go onto public transport in this manner. So he became very upset. He says, today nobody acts on sunnah. And our Akabirin also, amongst our Akabirin, they also don't act upon sunnah. He says, the actual sunnah is to eat and drink, drink and eat in earthenware, that cup that Hazrat drinks from. That is the earthenware. That is the actual cup that you're supposed to be eating from, drinking from the cup and the plate that you're supposed to eat from. So he says, nobody, even as a Shaykh Rahmatullahi. So now he started objecting on great, great Akabirin. Now this is when a person is in danger. Because now we're picking on great, senior, senior ulama, senior Akabirin. And making hibat about them is even worse. So nevertheless, Hazrat said that this person is in danger. He left the khanqah, he went away. So he never came back. Then after a few years, one person, he came to the khanqah, and he was dressed in three-piece suit and tie, and this person, he was clean-shaven. So he came and he sat in the majlis. So after the majlis was over, this person, he went away. So Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Hazrat's son, he told Hazrat, he said, you saw that person that came, three-piece, suit and tie, clean shaven. Did you recognize this person? He says, no. He says, that the same person came 3 years ago and he objected. So see, when we object on Akabirin, we say that, no, we know sunnah, we understand deen better, then where does a person reach? So always follow the Akabirin. What is their tariqah? There's always our safety in that. We give, that is taqleed also. What is taqleed? Taqleed is that we put our hands into the hands of the fuqaha, in the hands of the Aimmah Mujtahideen, Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Rahimahumullah, in their hands, without asking them, what is your proof? That is taqleed. We don't ask them, what is your proof? Although for every masla of deen, they have proof for it. Every masla of deen, there is a proof that is for it. It's backed up with some proof from Quran and Hadith. But we have so much of confidence in them, and so much of trust in them, that we put our hands into their hands without asking them for proof. So here also, how they have understood deen and how they have interpreted deen without us objecting and questioning it, that is how we should follow it. So that's what he's saying, that alhamdulillah, humne hamare apne akabirin ko Quran wa sunnat ka aisa aashiq paya jisko fana ka darja kehna chahe. Wa Quran wa hadith ke rooh aur maghz ko jaanne wale the. He says that our akabirin, they understood the soul, they understood the kernel of Quran and Hadith. What is the meaning of Quran? What is the understanding of the Ahadith Mubarak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They had understood it. Many a time you'll find that in Quran, for example, certain ayat, it seems like there's contradiction with another ayat. Or you will see in the Hadith, this Hadith is contradicting with another Hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But such understanding they had, that they will reconcile both the Ahadith, they will give you the solution, and you just continue further. Isliye unka amal goya ahkam ka shari hai. It is, he says that it is as though they amal, that when the akabirin, they act upon certain masla of deen, he says that they amal, they action is actually explaining what is the law of sharia. They amal is the explanation of the law of sharia. Buzruko ke amal se malum hota hai ke fisq wa fujur se to inko intihai kalbi bezari hoti hai. He said, the Buzrugs, the pious people, that from their actions we come to know that they totally were disassociated, they had dislike for any type of transgression and the disobedience of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And that is the definition of abrar. What is the meaning of abrar? Abrar is الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْذُونَ الذَّرْ وَلَا يَرْضَوْنَ بِالشَّرْ. That those pious people, abrar is extremely pious. So abrar, the definition is those people that do not even cause harm to the end. That is abrar. And this Mullah Abrar Hafsa Pardoi, his name was also Abrar. And he was Abrar also. It's mentioned that one occasion Hazrat Maulana went to make wudu. So when he went to make wudu, he sat on the first seat. When he sat on the first seat, then there were ants that were there. So they are those people that don't even harm the ants. So he never made wudu, he stood up. And then he went to the second seat. When he went to the second seat, he found ants there. So he stood up. And then he went to the third seat. And when he sat on the third seat, then he made wudu on the third seat where there were no ants. So see, الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْذُونَ الذَّرْ. As Mullah Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he had come to South Africa, and he was in Lodium at somebody's place, so they took Maulana to his room at night. In the morning when they came to his room to fetch him for Fajr Salah, they found him sleeping on the floor. So they asked him, how is it that you're sleeping on the floor? Was the bed not comfortable? What is the problem? Why did you sleep on the floor? So Hazrat said, no, why? Let's look at this 5-sheel carpet. I was more than comfortable on the carpet. So he said, no, but why? Was it not comfortable? We'll sort it out for you. So he says, when I came last night to sleep, he says, the cat was sleeping on the bed. He says, I thought to myself, who am I to disturb the sleep of the cat? So that is why I slept on the floor. Now this is Abrar. This is the extremely pious. On one occasion in Jalalabad, Hazrat was walking from the masjid after Asr Salah, and he was going to the going to the Khanka. So it was monsoon region and all over puddles of water. So the ducks were swimming. So Hazrat, he took a different route. What was the normal route? He didn't take that route. He took a different route and he went to the Khanka. So when he reached the Khanka, then he asked the Muridin, he said that your lotus way, I took another route. Do you know why I took another route? So he said, no Hazrat, why? Why did you take another route? He said that those ducks were playing there. And if we're going to walk on our normal route, we will pass by them, we will inconvenience them. They will then run away from there. So I did not want to cause difficulty to them also. That is why I took another route and I went to the Khanka. Now this is Abrar. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he speaks about his Ustad, Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, a man of great qualities. What a personality. He says that on one occasion I sat to eat with my Ustad, Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And what were we eating? He says that on one occasion it was mangoes, on one particular occasion. So he says that we had eaten the mangoes, and people used to bring a lot of gifts for Hazrat. So all the mangoes had come in the mango season, so we had eaten the mangoes. He says after eating the mangoes, then the Ustad, Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, asked Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, Mufti Shafi Sahib wanted to clean up the dastarkhan. He wasn't going to let the Ustad clean, so he wanted to clean up. So he asked the student, he asked Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, do you know how to clean the dastarkhan? So he said, Hazrat, do you know how to, you have to learn? You need a PhD, D. In our Hazrat's word, he says, you need a PhD, that you need to know how to clean the dastarkhan. He says, yes, there's a particular way. He says, see, at this time in India, there are so many poor people. And the poor people that are here, perhaps in this mango season, some of them are so poor, they haven't tasted a single mango. You're going to take these peels, and in those days they will dump it on the road. So the municipal truck will come, and then they will remove it from there. So he says, a poor man that is walking on the street, who hasn't eaten a mango, he's going to look at this dump. That look at how many mangoes these people have eaten, I haven't eaten a single mango. So he says, you're going to cause taklif to that person, inconvenience. So he says, don't do that. So he says, what must I do? So he says, separate it. He says that there are different areas to dump the garbage. So he says, put a little bit here, put a little bit in another area, put a little bit in another area. So even if a poor person has to pass by that area, he wouldn't be so inconvenienced, because he'll just see one or two peels that are lying over there. So that is Abrar. These are the extremely pious people. On another occasion, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, I sat to eat with my Ustad. He says, so when we're eating, we had eaten our food, and then it was time now to clean up. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, again, he said that I will clean up, Hazrat. So he said that, you know how to clean the dastarkhan? He said, Hazrat, you need a PhD. You need to know how to clean a dastarkhan. He said, yes, there's a way. He says, see, on the food that you've eaten, there's bones over here. So these bones, don't just take it and dump it. He says, take the bones and give it to the dog. Give it to the dogs. That is their risk. That is their sustenance. He says that there are some crumbs that are here. Although a person should try and pick up all those crumbs that are on the dastarkhan. He shouldn't waste the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But sometimes there are certain crumbs that are left over on the dastarkhan. So he says, take that, and that you must throw in the side of the house, against the wall. That's where the ants run around. And he says, that will become day nourishment and that will be day food. And then he says that we have eaten melons, and there's peels, there's fruit peels that are lying over here. So he says, don't take that and throw it in the bin. But he says, take it to the goats. That will become day nourishment. So he says, in this way you will clean the dastarkhan also. So in the leftover also, they thought of the entire makhluk of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is how far they went. On one occasion, he mentioned with Mullah Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah. He, by the time he used to finish after Isha Namaz, he used to sit in the masjid and read his wazaif. So he used to come home quite late at night. And in the months of winter, everyone is in bed. Isha is early, 7 o'clock, half quarter past 7. By half past 7, people are in bed already. So he used to come late by the time he finishes his wazaif.
So every day he will come to a certain place and he will stop. And then he'll take off his shoes. And then he'll walk without shoes. And then he'll come to a certain area and then he'll put on his shoes. And then he'll walk home. So somebody notices that this man is taking out his shoes at a certain spot. Every day at that particular spot he takes it out. And a certain spot he puts it on again. So they asked him, they said, that what is this? That you take out your shoes here, you put it on there. So he says, that's, why is it, why do you want to know why I'm doing this? Why this practice? So he insisted, he says, please tell us. So he says that over here there is a lady that is living here. And in her young days, she was beautiful, she used to sell her body. So she used to have a lot of clients, a lot of customers that used to come. Today she has become old. And although she has become old, she still decorates herself, beautifies herself, waiting that somebody is going to come to my home. But nobody comes there. So he says, now when I'm coming at that part of the night, when she's going to hear my footsteps, then she will think that a client is coming. And if I pass by, then her hopes are going to be shattered, she's going to be hurt, that here no client is coming, somebody was just passing by. So I don't want to cause inconvenience to her also. That is why I remove my shoe at this point and I put it on at that point. So this is abrar, that no inconvenience to others. Today if we really have to look into our lives, in our homes when we're eating, we got workers that are there. Do we even give them a little bit of what we're eating? So much Allah Ta'ala has given us. So these things, we must take them into consideration, that this is what we need to learn. This is Khanqa all about, that how we can become human beings. We're all in need of it. I myself, I'm most in need of it. That is why we are talking about it, that how we can become human beings. A person that has become a true human being, his dunya is made, his akhirah will be made also, inshallah. This is the last few lines, but we'll finish it tomorrow. Time is up. Subhanallah.